This is your source for all the news that matters. Hard-hitting, unbiased, investigative journalism, ready to break...
Sorry, John, that's the wrong copy.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, it's not right. Is it under the...
Oh, yeah, it's this other sheet. That makes so much more sense. Okay.
Okay, let's go again.
You're listening to a podcast that has Ron Van Dam on it. It's the Ron Van Dam Podcast on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you for coming.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess who I am? It doesn't take much to figure that out. Now that you know who I am, who are you? What are you doing here? Oh, you came to listen to a show. Well, isn't that cute? That's adorable. Thanks for being here. Let's get things started. All right. You over there sitting in the chair... Could you not spread your legs like that while I'm doing the show? It's aggravating and it's throwing me off. Could you? Yeah, that's better. Thank you. I mean, God, learn how to sit, will you? Did nobody teach you that that's not the way you sit? And nobody did? Oh, okay. Well, then I'll do it. All right, that'll be enough. Thank you. The background music, the theme, Jason Shaw. Thank you so much, Jason. He does much of the music you hear on this program. He's wonderful. John Shanahan, comedian, comedy writer, comedy performer. He does the comedy commercials, the announcing on the show, all kinds of stuff he does. Nicole Reed, she's that British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She actually works for us. She books many of our national interviews on the program. Nicole Reed, ladies and gentlemen. I certainly can't do it. I don't know how. And then there's you. Okay. We have one rule on this program. I talk, you don't.
Shut up!
Please. And the ladies now.
Shut up!
Thank you. We always use... It's nice. Hey, welcome to the program. It's the weekend. Oh, my God. It's the weekend already. Wow. This happens every, like, 5 days. You get a weekend, then you do 5 more days. Have you noticed the pattern yet? I have. I just noticed it last week. You do 5 days, and then like 2 days, it's called the weekend. Oh, the weekend is the time when people go nuts. They just drop everything they're doing. Not that there is anything to do yet, but they drop everything they're doing from doing nothing, and they celebrate and party for 2 days. They drink beer, jump at the swimming pools, get rowdy, do stupid stuff, and that is your weekend. That's what the weekend is. It's crazy, man. It's crazy, man. Wear a mask. Every once in a while, I got to say that. Wear your freaking mask. Don't be stupid like most of the country seems to be right now. Wear your freaking mask. It worked before. It can work again. Wear the freaking mask. Did you hear the story about what happened in California? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. California is one of the places where things are going crazy. California, Texas, Florida. and some other states, all in the same area down there. Virus going rampant, going crazy, people dying, people hospitalized. Not good. We had this under control when people were wearing masks, when they stayed away from other people, they social distanced. Then the summer came and most of us said, what the hell? Most of you, not most of me. What the hell? And they started gathering in large groups without wearing masks, getting close to each other. And this is the result, you stupid idiots. This happened at the Sundial Bridge in Reading on Wednesday, just last Wednesday, on the 22nd of July. What happened was this musician who was a member of a church. The church was called the, what was it called? It was in Shasta County. It was the Bethel Church, Redding's Bethel Church. The members of this church believe in faith healing. They believe that they can individually heal the sick and raise the dead. You know, religion is wonderful, but you got to be careful of the term followers. If you're, you know, religious people, they're followers of things. You don't want to follow without using your brains as well. If you follow and don't use your brains, such as these people, horrible things can happen. And they did. What happened was hundreds of people gathered at this bridge, which is called the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. And this musician wrote some religious songs and people were raising their hands in praise, but they were standing shoulder to shoulder, hundreds of people in this large pasture on top of a bridge and under a bridge, and they weren't wearing masks. Just a few were. Most definitely, most of them were not. There's a video of this. I can use my eyes. I see the video. They were not wearing masks at all, and they were on top of each other, total strangers. As a result, everybody there is probably infected, and most of them have already tested positive. They are all being urged to self-quarantine for 14 days, like they will, really. This is what a virus pandemic is. You get people together, they're on top of each other, and it spreads just like cockroaches. This is how it happens. So I say to you, and I won't say it again for the rest of the show, wear your freaking mask. They come in various colors and various designs. They're basically just a cloth. You put it over your mouth when you can't be at least 6 feet away from somebody else. Wear your freaking mask when you're outside, when you're inside, if you can't social distance. You don't go to things like this where you're shoulder to shoulder with people. You know, we had it under control, and then most of you screwed this up. You got really cocky with your going outside in summer, getting together with people, and you screwed this up royal. This worked before, and you screwed it up in this country. So, I mean, I don't want to talk about this anymore because it pisses me off. Going in the wrong direction, and still going in the wrong direction. So, come on, man. All right, that's enough of that. How are you, by the way? I always ask on every show how you're doing. Basically, I don't care. I'm making believe I care because it sounds like I care. And that way, I gain ratings. No, seriously, take care of yourself. This is what happens. You know, you get some stupid people. They get together with friends thinking, well, I know these people and I know they're good people and I know they're not stupid and I know that they're very intelligent and they don't do things wrong. And you gather with people, you don't know what they've been doing the past few weeks. And then you pass it on. You pass it on to your friends. You pass it on to your parents. Pass it on to your grandparents. You know, and basically everything starts sucking big time. All right. Enough, Ron. Stop with it. Yes, I know, but I have a social responsibility. You have a responsibility to entertain these people, not to preach to them. All right, fine, but I'm doing it from a distance. All right, fine. I did want to talk about something today that is quite interesting to me. It is a lesson to those that are growing up as young adults. And the lesson is this. Get a job. And I know there are no jobs to be had, but you don't need to have a job. Let me explain something to you. Young children, when I was growing up, young children started working at the age of 8 years old. In clothing factories. No, that's not true. At 8 years old, I took a snack table from my mother's house and a chair, and I put it out in front of my house on my front lawn near the curb, and I sold lemonade. It sucked. I couldn't even drink the damn stuff. It was water and some kind of packet of lemonade powder that cost like 2 cents. And I would take one of my mother's pitchers. She did not appreciate that, by the way. And I mixed lemonade, and I made a sign that said, lemonade, 5 cents. And I sat there. And my lemonade sucked, and I knew it sucked. But at the same time, I was starting a business, and that made me feel good. And neighbors would walk by, and cars would drive by. Total strangers in cars saying either, I would like some lemonade, or get in the car, kid. I have some candy, and I'll abduct you. These were two possibilities. They would buy the 5 cent little plastic cup or paper cup of lemonade, and you never saw them drinking the lemonade because they would probably just spill it on the ground because it sucked. But I would make 5 cents, and I had a little business going, and people tried to make me feel good by buying my little paper cup of lemonade. And I did this for quite a period of time. I didn't become rich from it. I did buy my first airplane with it. It was a balsa wood airplane, not a real one. But I was enterprising. Then when I got a little bit older, I mowed lawns. I would take my father's lawnmower. My parents never appreciated this stuff because I would use their stuff to do it. I would take my father's lawnmower, and I would go around the neighborhood and offer to mow their lawns. And I got a lot of business that way, and I made some pretty good money at a very, very young age. Yeah, self-enterprising businesses, man. That's what we did as kids. That's what I did, and a lot of other kids did it too. In the winter, we would shovel driveways. Made a lot of money doing that. Take the whole morning to shovel one tiny little driveway, but nonetheless, we did it. I did it. My friends and I did it. Then when I got a little bit older, I had my first real job where I worked for somebody. I was a paper boy. I was made of paper. Every afternoon around 3 o'clock, this truck would drop off about 30 newspapers bundled up with string in front of my house. And when I got home from school, I would take the newspapers and I would fold them up in newspaper throwing fashion, and I would put them in the basket of my bicycle, and I would drive through my neighborhood and or a couple of neighborhoods away, and I would deliver these newspapers. And I would, and people would say, hello, Ron. And I would say, hello, how are you? It was very friendly, and very, I felt a feeling of, I'm a worker. This was a real job. I got paid. And I would go once a week to the people's houses to collect the money, and they would give me the money, and they would tip me, and I would keep some of the money and give the proper amount back to the newspaper company. And this was a business. This was a business. The newspaper got cheap child labor, and I made some money. It was cool. The only problem with that job is a lot of the homes were not home ever when it was the day to collect. It was Tuesdays. It was collection day when I had the neighbors had to pay. You know, I'm collecting for the paper. You owe me $10. Oh, we're not home. What do you mean you're not home? You're standing at the door telling me you're not home? I'm not home. A lot of them wouldn't pay, you know, but most of them did. But the people that didn't pay kind of ruined the whole job for me, and eventually I stopped doing it because of the stupid neighbors. But the point is that, man, I worked, and such a feeling of accomplishment. Now, unfortunately, I compare that to the millennials and the Generation P and the Generation X and W, where as you grow up, you don't do a damn thing, do you? You don't do a damn thing. you sit in a chair and you watch TV, you play video games, you're on your laptop, and you're just keying things in and doing just nothing, man. You don't go out and get little jobs. You don't mow lawns. Mow lawns sounds like the name of a baseball player for the Yankees, doesn't it? And now pitching for the Yankees, mow lawns. Mo, what's your RBI? I don't know what an RBI is. I'm a baseball player. Yeah, man, you Generation W's, you don't do anything, man. You just sit there. Not me. I did schoolwork. I had homework. Went to school, had homework. Delivered newspapers, sold lemonade, shoveled driveways, mowed lawns, the famous baseball player. Did a lot of stuff, man. Not you. Your whole childhood, you know, you got your finger up your nose, and you're not supposed to put your fingers in your nose. That's not sanitary. Wash your hands. My God, wash your hands, will you, please? And sit properly. Yeah, it's very different now. I seem to spend a lot of time talking about how things were different. But they were, and that's the way it goes. How you doing? You doing all right, huh? You doing okay? It's the weekend. Oh my God. Uh-huh. Yeah, have you noticed that you spend 5 days and then like 2 days is the weekend? It's like, it's a pattern. It's like 5 days of supposed work and then 2 days of just doing nothing for the weekend, drinking beer and being stupid and yelling and screaming and complaining, and then 5 days you work. I've noticed the pattern all of a sudden. I never noticed that before. It's like 5 days and then 2 days, 5 days and then 2 days. Did you ever notice that pattern? Yeah. So this is the weekend now, and this is the time to drink beer and act stupid. That's what we do here in America. On the weekends, we just we drop our pants and we just reveal ourselves and our stupidity. And during the week is when we're the real people. We're serious about something, and then the weekend comes and we're not serious about anything. It's a pattern. I've noticed it recently. Oh my God. All right, this is the time during the show when I ask you to go put some pants on. To me, the definition of a pandemic is you don't always wear pants. I found that before this whole thing started, this big social experiment started back in February, March, I was wearing pants all day. Now I find that I don't wear pants all day anymore. I wear pants maybe half the day. Which poses a problem when I go to stores. I say, sir, put a mask on and damn it, put some pants on. I got to remember that. Mask and pants. I know you don't wear pants. Yeah, when I go out, I see people wearing pajama pants. What? It's the summer, so I know, you know, you tend to wear shorts, and what are shorts other than exterior underpants is really all they are. I don't see the difference, to be honest with you. And what's the difference between a bra and a halter top without a bra? Nothing. Nothing. Yet if you see a woman walking down the street wearing a bra, you go, oh my God, look at that. It's a woman wearing nothing but a bra. But if they're wearing nothing but a halter top and no bra underneath, it's like, all right, they're properly dressed. What? What's wrong with us? I have a very interesting guest coming up. I think you'll enjoy the guest. I can't guarantee that. I can't guarantee what you will enjoy. We all enjoy different things, so that kind of doesn't make any sense. But nonetheless, we have a short commercial break, and when we come back, that guest will be here. So you're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much for doing so.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Zafar Brooks is executive director of Hyundai. Hope on Wheels. We'll tell you what that is in just a second. And Jordan Hernandez also, who is a pediatric cancer survivor and national youth ambassador for Hyundai Hope on Wheels. Hello to everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yay. Okay, now let's start with the obvious. First of all, what is Hope on Wheels? I know this isn't the first time we've talked about this.
It is not. Thank you for having us back on the show. We're always glad to be back in Boston, which is where we actually got our start back in 1998.
Oh.
So Hyundai Hope on Wheels is a nonprofit organization that was created by Hyundai and its U.S. dealers. And our mission is straightforward. We help kids fight cancer. We do so by funding research grants at children's hospitals across the nation and creating more awareness about the significance of this disease.
Wow. Now, this is, I understand that there's quite a bit of money involved in these grants.
There is indeed. Since 1998, you know, we got our start back in Boston with Dana-Farber. We were just a small organization. We've since grown, and we have awarded $172 million in the fight to end childhood cancer over those 22 years.
Wow. Now, I know that this is a weird year as far as everything's concerned. How have adjustments been made accordingly here to this year's campaign?
Yeah, you know, I don't think any of us could have imagined this year at any time, frankly, in the past. Certainly this time last year, we could not have imagined we would be where we are with the global pandemic from the coronavirus. And because of that, we and our board of directors, as well as our parent company, Hyundai, got together and said, you know, it was even more important that we stay committed to this cause. So this is our 22nd uninterrupted year of supporting research for children with cancer. This year, we're going to award $11 million that will go to 48 combined institutions all across the nation. Part of that money is going to help with COVID-19 drive-through testing, and the other part of that money is going to help fund research projects to advance pediatric cancer research for children like Jordan so that they can continue and live their lives free of pediatric cancer.
Yes, Jordan knows exactly what you're talking about because she is a pediatric cancer survivor, and she's with us now. Tell us about your journey, Jordan.
Hi, my name's Jordan, and I was diagnosed with T-cell lymphoblastic lymphoma when I was 6. It was very scary at first, and I didn't know a lot about cancer at the time, but I had my friends and family, and they helped me through my journey.
And how old are you now, Jordan? May I ask?
I am 13 years old.
Cool, cool. And how are you doing?
Sorry.
No, well, how are you doing with everything?
I'm doing good, thank you. This corona, it's very different, and this Hyundai is going to be a lot different this year because of it, but I'm still very grateful for this opportunity.
Very, very good. All right. So now, how does the public get involved in the on the Hope on Wheels?
Sure. Well, thanks for asking. you know, we invite the public to become a part of this fight because kids need to know they're not alone. Many people may not know that the leading disease-related cause of death for children in the country is pediatric cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Every 36 minutes, a child is diagnosed. And while we've done some great work that started right there at Dana-Farber many, many years ago with Dr. Sidney Farber in mm-hmm. trying to find more cures, even one child lost is one too many.
Right.
And so you can join our fight by visiting our website first at HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org. We always say join our movement, learn about the issue of pediatric cancer, meet Jordan, learn about her story, see some of the research grants that we've funded across the nation, as well as you can join us on social media. You can like the content, share it with others, and just become a part of this movement to help. And certainly if you wish, you can make a donation to us or any children's hospitals that's doing that work around pediatric cancer research.
Cool. Jordan, how does it feel to be an ambassador to tell your story and to enlighten other people? Is that rewarding? What does it feel like?
It's very empowering to be able to share my story with pediatric cancer and inspire other kids that are going through pediatric cancer.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you're doing a wonderful job, and you're an inspirational person, and you know, through one's life, you wonder how you can affect other people and change the world a little bit, and you've actually found a way. So you've turned a weird situation into a good educating one. So congratulations to you. We like people like you. Okay. This is great. So go to the website one more time. That website address.
Sure, it's www.HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org, HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org. And you can also follow us on social media with the same handle.
Wonderful. Well, I hope we speak again next year, and every year seems to be a little more impactful as far as helping people and giving people hope. Hope's a very important word in this particular campaign. We don't hear a lot of hope these days, and it's good to hear it being used.
Well, you're right. We need hope to get us through this, but we're all in this together. That's one of the things we've said our campaign theme this year is, I can, we can, mm-hmm. together in childhood cancer. We won't be with you in Boston this year for the Jimmy Fund walk runs. First year it's
right.
been canceled
right.
because of COVID-19.
Right.
But we are want you to know there in Boston and around that you can count on Hyundai Hope on Wheels to continue this fight against pediatric cancer for as long as it takes.
Well, you don't need to physically walk in order to get involved, and that's also the message. So that works.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time, both of you. Continued good work and success, and thank you for enlightening us today. Well, thank you so much for being here today. Without you, this would have been... well, pretty much the same. There are other people that listen. You're not the only one. So actually it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. But I do enjoy your company. No, I don't. It's time to tell the truth. I don't really enjoy your company. You're a nice person and all that. I mean, I guess you're okay. I don't know. I don't know what goes on. You know, really. On the surface, you seem like a nice person. You know, you're presentable to some extent, but probably not always. And you seem to be a good person. You don't seem to have any negative qualities, although you probably have tons of negative qualities. It's just I wouldn't see them right now. You know, I don't know you that well, so I don't know your inner workings. I don't know about your childhood and how dysfunctional that was for you, and you still have anger issues because of it. I don't know. I don't even know you that well. I have no idea what your medical history is or anything like that. I don't know if you took a test that tested your cognizance, like your cognitive test from Trump. I don't know if you ever took one of those. I don't know if you can remember five words in order after you study them greatly. I don't know. I don't know anything about you. I don't know what your tastes are in food, if you even like food. I don't know if you're fat, skinny. I have no idea. But see, that's the point. This is the great part of this thing, this audio radio podcast thing is we have a relationship, and I don't know who the hell you are. I mean, you're not listening to the show because you're pretty or I'm pretty. I don't care what color shoes you wear. Kumbaya, kumbaya. See, that's great. We can communicate without knowing each other, and that's the way it should stay. I don't want to know you. I have no interest in you whatsoever beyond the fact that you're listening to this. There's no point to you. You don't make my life better or worse in any sense of the word. I don't know what your beliefs are, where you come from, but yet we have this unidentified bond that doesn't even exist. This is absolutely absurd. Look, you have yourself a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I'll be back on Monday with a brand new show. Until then, wear a mask, and I wish you peace, okay? All right. All right, go now. It's over. Listen to the music. You can sing along if you'd like.